Hello, everybody. Mark Carlson here, SNEA Technical Council Co-Chair. Welcome to the STC Podcast. Every week, the STC Podcast presents important technical topics to the storage developer community. Each episode is hand-selected by the SNEA Technical Council from the presentations at our annual Storage Developer Conference. The link to the slides is available in the show notes at snea.org/podcasts. You are listening to STC Podcast, episode 128.
My name is Andy Ruiz Cabrera, and this is my colleague, Fran Lee. We work on Microsoft, and we are part of the Windows SMB team. Today, we're going to be talking about some changes we have made to allow SMB traffic to flow through quick connections. But first, let's go over some updates on the work we have done the last year. So this is work that is already finished. So we have added to the protocol not the normalized name query. So now we have native support for file normalized name information. We have also done some directory caching enhancements. Now you can cache around 500,000 entries for larger directories. Also, when you're trying to query a directory, you will try to use 1 megabyte buffer, so we minimize the number of round trips we do. We have added negotiable SMB traffic compression, so now we support the algorithms Express-Hoffman, and LCNT1. And also we have added negotiable SMB in the name context for multi-tenant servers. So also, this is the work now that we are currently working on. So we are trying to add pattern scan compression algorithms and storage RDMA push mode to persistent memory. If you are more interested in this subject, I suggest you stick after this talk. So Matthew will be talking about that right after this. We are working on SMB3 signing, so specifically we are trying to switch from AES-CCM to AES-GCM, and we are adding new signing and encryption algorithms, such as AES-256-GCM and AES-256-CCM, and encryption of RDMA payloads for SMB2, direct placement reads and writes. So this is going to be the outline of our presentation. First, we are going to be talking what are the challenges you face when you're trying to do SMB traffic over the internet. And then we'll do some overview of the Quick protocol. I'm going to mention what it is and some of the advantages it has as a new transport. An overview of what SMB over Quick is and mention some of the advantages and downsides it has. When we are going to be covering how our SMB components integrate with the Quick protocol for client-server communication, as well as some steps that both clients and server have to take if you want to establish a connection and allow data transfer. So Quick uses TLS 1.3, so that way it provides authentication and privacy. For that, you'll need to provision some certificates on the server. So we're going to cover like what you need to do to interact with us in that way. And also, we're going to be covering some of the management tools we have added to allow this provisioning on the server. Lastly, we're going to mention some performance measurements we have done on this to see how fast this is, and then we'll do at least one demo. So why? So how many of you have used SMB to access local resources? Okay. And how many of you have used SMB to access resources over the internet? Wow, I am surprised. With no VPN?
Years ago.
Okay. Really?
Just to test Azure.
Yeah, but
in SSH
I see. Yeah, but you are using different protocols to this, but you can never do native SMB because it's usually hard, kind of hard for at least for normal people, for regular individuals to use SMB over the internet, and part of this is because I'm sorry, I keep pressing keys. So part of this is because even though SMB doesn't have any limit on where it can be used, nobody is limiting you to use it only in local area networks or wide area networks. You seldom see traffic of SMB traffic going over the internet natively. So part of the reason for this is port 445 tends to be blocked in your local router, which is probably a good idea because you want to minimize your attack surface, and in general, internet is not like a very safe place to be, to have like a bunch of ports open. So yeah, you usually want port 445 closed. But yeah, I'm sorry, we cannot help with that. But if you are like very knowledgeable individual and you want to open to allow port forwarding your router, and so you can access your resources from anywhere in the internet, you want to access your local resources at home, or you want to access on. If you want to do that, you are still probably out of luck because I think most ISPs block communication going to your port 445, so in and out. So yeah, I think they think that's very unsafe. And they won't allow it. So, yeah. That's why if you have some cloud provider and you have your files there, and that cloud provider wants to open 445 for you to access your files through SMB, probably still, if you have Comcast or something like that, probably you won't be able to communicate with that. So the only thing you can, I mean, one of the things you can do here is use VPNs. So in this case, you will make a look as your client and server belong to the same local network while the traffic is going encrypted over internet. But in general, this is overkill if all you want to do is just do some SMB traffic. And it's also very inefficient. So let's do a very quick overview of Qwik. Qwik. It's a new secure networking transport on top of UDP. It's the basis for HTTP3. I think HTTP3 is going to be using mostly Qwik because it's very good for HTTP connections. It was mostly designed to go hand in hand with HTTP2. And it allows faster connection setup. So usually with TCP, you have your client needs to send a connection request to the server. The server has to send an acknowledgement, and then the client sends another acknowledgement to the server. And then with the information shared in this exchange, then you establish the TCP connection. So you wasted at least one round trip there, right? But this connection is not even encrypted yet. If you also want to have some encryption, you need to do an extra round trip to get TLS. So Qwik has security built in, so it expects to do TLS immediately, so TLS information will be part of the first round trip. So all in all, you'll just need one round trip to get an encrypted connection with Qwik, which is better than TCP, which will need at least two. Also, it works, it responds better to congestion and packet loss. So if you have some front-end servers and you're directing traffic to some back-end server and you get some congestion, Qwik packets have a connection ID associated with them. So when there is some rerouting of these packets on the network, the load balancer can use this connection ID to send the packets to the right backend server, and you don't need to establish new connections or anything. You don't need to do any new round trips. It also offers better security. Since Qwik uses certificates, You can trust now that when you connect to a server, the server has to present a certificate to the client, and you can trust that this server is whoever it says it is. Even if someone tries to poison your DNS, you're fine as long as you can verify that certificate is valid. Also, it has TLS 1.3 integrated, so you can avoid man-in-the-middle attacks because, your connection is encrypted. So it presents some improvements over HTTP2 that goes over TCP. So you don't have head-of-line blocking, or at least it's not as bad as it is in TCP. So usually with TCP, if you are taking too long to process some packet, since TCP requires that the packets are delivered on the same order they were sent, all the other packets that you may have received need to wait until this first packet is fully received and processed. Quick uses multiple streams and connections. So if you have this packet that for some reason you need to retransmit and you need to wait for it, all different packets on different streams can keep receiving them in parallel, so you don't have that problem. It offers better transition between networks. So usually with TCP, if you are trying to move from one network to the other one, your connection is kind of associated with this network, so you most likely will have to wait for this original connection to time out before the client can reconnect with the server on that different on the second network. Quick, as I mentioned before, has a connection ID associated with the packet. So if in the second network the server starts receiving this packet with this connection ID that it knows, it doesn't matter since the connection ID has nothing to do with it, it's independent from the network. The server can just start receiving these packets immediately, and resume transfers. Quick is also better than loss recovery. So TCP packets have up to 4 SACK blocks, while Quick ACK frames have up to 256. So you can, on the presence of packet loss, you can keep making forward progress for longer before you have to kind of stop. You can keep receiving packets even if you have packet loss. There is no retransmission ambiguity. So each Quick packet have a sequence ID. So if the client sends a packet and then retransmit it, whenever it gets an ACK from the server, it can know if this server is acknowledging the original packet or any of the retransmissions. So that's something you don't have with TCP, and that's transmission ambiguity. And also, Quick was created after TCP. So it borrowed a bunch of good ideas that TCP was using for congestion control. So you get the good from TCP, and then you add some newer techniques, and you get a better congestion control in general. So it offers portability and agility because it was designed as a user mode library. So it's easier to port these to different platforms. And also, it allows for more agile development and testing of Quick modules because it's user mode. You don't have to. It's not that bad. So, and something nice is it's being standardized by IETF. So Google, the question is, Google's version of Quick and IETF version of Quick are not the same. Which one we are working with? Do you?
Network.
Yeah. So for that, it's better to redirect that question to our networking team. I can get back to you and try to. I don't know. We just use them. We just use the API they provide for us. Yeah. So let's go to a brief overview of SMB over Quick. So the advantages this gives us using this new transport type is that we get more security because, as I mentioned before, servers now have to present a certificate to you, so you can verify, you avoid server spoofing from now on. And since it has TLS baked in, you get encryption for free. In fact, I think unless you specify otherwise, we disable encryption because Quick has that already built in. So it offers greater portability. In case you are trying to connect to 4445 and you see it block, then you can just move and do SMB over Quick and port UDP 443, which will usually work. In fact, there are some experiments Google has done and shows that 93% of the connection success, you have a 93% connection success rate when you're trying to connect to UDP 443. And the Windows kernel Quick implementation allows multiplexing of multiple protocols on UDP 443 using ALPN. But you also get some downsides when you're trying to do this. One of them is performance. This is doing Quick SMB over Quick is worse than doing SMB encrypted traffic. And one of the main reasons for this is a lot of networking equipment is optimized to understand TCP traffic. And so part of this logic having loaded to the hardware, Quick is kind of new and that has not happened yet. So most of whatever you're doing is being done by software. So yeah, you'll suffer performance penalties there. And Kerberos cannot be used without means to reach KDC from the client. So you'll have to have NTLM enabled if client cannot reach KDC. This is not bad for this connection specifically because this NTLM exchange will happen inside the TLS connection, so you will be safe. But you had to enable NTLM in your connection and some other component that you're not aware of may be using it, and I don't know, you may want to be aware of that. And lastly, TLS encryption is machine-to-machine rather than user-to-machine, so that's also less than ideal. So if there are no questions on this section, I will pass it on to my colleague, Fran Lee, to talk about implementation and integration.
So I think some people here may be familiar with this picture, and as we released the SMB Direct or RDMA or SMB and in 2012 server. Now it's time we introduce another security transport type. It's called Quick. And so our Quick, for SMB layer, so our Quick is just another protocol option or transport type used side by side as our Windows sockets and RDMA. So what that means, so what we change for our SMB to protocol stack if we introduce the Quick stack. So our SMB will be layer on top of the Quick stack. So MS Quick supports multiple Quick stream in single connections, but we're only using one single Quick stream in single connections. It purports to replace TCP, and also our multi-channel, or everything multi-channel, just handle the aggregation of multiple Quick connection or TCP connections. So we don't have much change right here. So by default, if client negotiate on to server on the Quick connections, we don't enforce the SMB sharding encryptions. So we rely on the TLS encryption for the Quick connection. Our colleague Andy already talked about for the Quick SMB or Quick, we will need certificate, and we will provide some management utilities to handle how we impose the certificate for the Quick connection successful. So for the SMB authentication, we don't have change for quick purpose. And because the quick connection is a security connect, TRS connection, security connections, so we do have allow the client and the server to negotiate on new contacts to agreement. So if we enforce the SMB2 encryption on the quick connection or not. That means sometimes you want to, okay, at quick layer, we have already have encryption, but you still prefer you have SMB2 encryption. We provide those options. So now we can talk about, so from our client and to our server, so what's happening when we introduce the quick connections. So basically, client will open a file or open a share, and the client will find the server name by DNS, and at that time, client will fire up parallel on TCP connection or quick connections. So client will start and whatever the channel we set up first for the negotiation. Then if that's whatever the client will negotiate interface with the server with the and gets the most optimized the protocols. And that's either by TCP IP or either by quick. It depends on which connection you connect first. And after that one, the client will continue send the whatever the session setup and whatever SMB connections, SMB messages. As the client don't know if the server supports quick or not, because it's impossible with down-level servers, then we run the TCP connection and the quick connection in parallel. But we'll give a hide TCP IP connection. So by default, we'll first try TCP IP connections. But and also when let's use command, we introduce another introduce the mount option. You can specify the transport type, either quick or WSK. Any questions, Shoma?
So you're saying that TCP gets a head start.
Yeah.
But let's say you have a routed enterprise network, like Microsoft campus.
Yep.
And there's a glitch. And the initial TCP handshake gets messed up. Now you're connected by quick.
Yes, we will follow up by quick.
But that means you now have what should be a slower connection, even though it's on a local router network.
Okay, can you repeat the question? You see,
if that's the case, the odd case, and we have this problem actually with Hyper-V, the SCVMM. In the case that something goes wrong at the initial startup of the TCP connection, which can happen, it's a network glitch, and normally you just try. But by this point, the quick connection might be established, and now you have a slower than normal connection between yourself and the server.
Yeah, I agree with that point. Matthew, do we retry the TCP connection? We try,
well,
right?
I think every new connection attempt will be attempted again. But I think when we say negotiate multi-channel, I believe when we establish secondary connections, it should pick up TCP again. Again, we do this.
So you're doing multi-channel over quick and TCP at the same
time? Right, you could.
That's how that would work?
Yeah.
So if you have a client and server that support both, even if you connect by quick first, by doing if multi-channel is involved, which it would be because you're doing quick, it's a more advanced version, so then you would automatically also make the TCP connection.
That's what I believe should happen.
Yes.
Can you either summarize that or maybe give a mic to Matthew or something?
Thank you.
I think that's an important
thing. I can talk about it at the end, I guess.
Okay, that's fine. I just want to make sure that gets on the recording so I think we'll understand that. Or put a slide in afterwards.
Okay, we have some code snipped, and we're talking about a little bit about in the client side, so what happened when we're using Quick. So firstly, we need a open a section. That basically open a handle. Then we need to make a connection open. Then we do the stream open. Then we will start the send the streams. So that's it, the basic sequence. And from client side, SMB layer rely on our MS Quick implementation.
What's that second arm of the first call? The SMB
SMS quick?
Can you,
that's it, the handle. I'm sorry.
Can you repeat the question?
Can you repeat the question? What's the question?
Yeah, so in the first call,
yep.
The second parameter says SMB over quick. Is that a constant?
That's LPN, a constant. It's SMB, actually. That's true. Yes, that's correct. We share the same LP name between the client and the server.
It's a string that IAM manages in a register.
I didn't get you. That's defined constant and predefined in the quick layer. We defined either HTTP or LP for SMB. Okay. So, and we go to the server. So that means in the server side, what's the way, if we want to use the SMB quick, what will happen there? So first, we will open, server will open the endpoint on UDP 443 listening. And once the listening is up, then we will try to receive the new connection from the client, quick connections. If when the new connection coming in, then we're trying to find the new certificate for this in our server. If everything looks fine, we find the certificate and other conditions meet, then we server will accept that connections. Then server will beginning to receive the SMB message through the stream. So at server, in the server, we don't know, so what's the user preferred by default, TCP, IP, or quick. So by default, we start both the listener on TCP or quick. But we provide options so you can override. So if you want to just want to the TCP IP, or if you just want to the quick. So this is a little bit code snip for the server. So basically, we need to open a listener. And we need a start listener. And after start, waiting in the callback function, we need to tell you what connection is coming. And we need to tell so when the stream is coming. So basically, we rely on the MS quick layer to send out our message. So from the client side and the server side. We need to mention a little bit on here, so for the quick, how the buffer alignment. So we cannot assume with SMB, single SMB message holding one single buffer. It may possible across multiple quick buffer. And one quick buffer may possible contains multiple SMB to message. So from the client and our server, so it is this through the stream callback to receive the SMB2 message. Then the client or server, we will passing this message and do the up layers of SMB2 stack. But we're talking about, because we are using the quick, we rely on TLS 1.3. So we have to introduce some server certificate for our server. So we introduce server certificate mapping and to allow the server knows what certificate should be used for the new connection coming in from the client. So basically, the server will support multiple principal name to mapping to the single certificate or multiple certificate. And by default, the user cannot assume there is a certificate in the server. So the user have to import the certificate to the local system store for the usage of the SMB servers. So, but if the customer want to block the 445 and only allow, if the customer only want to use quick, they can either block the TCP 405 or simply don't start the TCP 405 listener on server side. And from the client side, as I mentioned earlier, for the next use command, we provide the mount point option. You can specify what type of the connection or transport type you want to use, either Quick or WSK. Oh, we have another. So basically, for the management for our server certificate mapping, we introduce three command. So new and remove and get. So how to use the server certificate mapping? So it's pretty simple. And you have to have the server certificate, and it's stored in the local system store. And you can do the new server SMB server certificate mapping, and you give the server DNS name and some printer from the certificate. And if you want, you don't want to use that certificate anymore, or you want to get a new certificate, you can remove it and import a new one. So any questions so far? Okay. As we mentioned early and in this talk, and the compare with TCP connection, and we have, for the large size I/O, TCP IP have better performance. Maybe the throughput is about 2 times of Quick. So we already did some initial investigation on this issue. It looks in the Quick layer, and one single thread is stick in one CPU and process the send stream and decryption the message. So, and for the fair comparison, so in the for the TCP IP, we enable the SMB2 encryption, because in the Quick layer, they already by default, and you cannot remove the encryption for it. So for the small side IO, we see almost similar performance for both read and write. Any question for that then?
Both one connection?
With using multi-channel. No one, no single connection.
So, earlier slide said you are using multiple flows with a single Quick connection. How many flows?
In each Quick connection, we only allow one single stream. But we rely on SMB to multi-channels
so
features. So, yeah.
For both.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. So, any questions? And we can switch with demo.
So on that chart, on TCP, that I'm assuming that mm-hmm. encryption and signing are turned on, and Quick they're turned off because they're separately encrypted.
Yes, that's correct.
Can you repeat the question? So
you ask if the encryption or signing is enabled for
TCP. Encryption and signing on the TCP is enabled.
Enabled, yes. Yes, because Quick already do some encryption inside the Quick layer. So we have to, for fair comparison, we have to disable the Quick. But we do support, so if we want to do encryption, so it's okay. So I think the network team is investigating, so why the all the traffic, I mean, why the single core handle all the decryption or send message. So that's basically from the situation we analyze, see, okay, that's not balanced through the and the, across the all the cores in the CPU.
I think I can give you another thing for that. So at the SMB layer, when we do encryption, we...
So in my laptop, and I host a hypervisor, and I have VM. And based on that, so we can start up. And this advantage, we have to filter on the TCP and the UDP traffic. We cannot see SMB at that time. Because the TCP, and I have in the Azure, I have VM. And as we know, so we cannot assess the share in the Azure host VM before. So in that demo, I will show the TCP will not work. So, and even that's VM, we cannot pingable. And we have a register key in client side. All right, if we want to use TCP IP, we want to use the quick. So we will see what happens. So we will see the ping timeout. And also we see the retransmission for the TCP. That means in that way, I'm actually block the TCP traffic. Okay, we don't have any connections established. Then we can try our quick to pass through the firewall stuff. So basically, that's when we will force the client connection on the quick. We will see, okay, it first try the TCP, and then the follow-up, the fail to the quick, and we will see some payload there. And after that one, I can write some files system test on this. Basically, in this test, I will creating a 5 megabyte. File my bad files, just and make sure my test will run a little bit faster. So, and we do a sequence read and the sequence write, and the random read and random write, and the mixed, the read and write. So, any questions so far? That test running. Yeah.
I have one question: why did you choose quick and not direct?
I think the reason from my side, right? And we have in house we already developed MS Quick for the the MS Quick is ready for us to use. Otherwise, I think the network team may be
good.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing there was the ability for Quick to multiplex over the same port. I think that was kind of important because, right. So the primary, I think it's probably a Windows implementation reason too, because we did not have a good TLS stack from kernel. So from user mode, yeah, of course, TLS works over TCP 443, and Quick kind of came up as the alternative. So there was a shared library development which was developed for both kernel and user mode. It's almost like a static library for the most part. So part of it was implementation reason, and the second part of it was multiplexing, the ALPNs being clearly defined. So I guess SSL also did allow that, right? You could multiplex. But would you run over SSL 443 or? Okay.
Then we do the robot copy with the compression.
Yeah, that's kind of set up in my home behind the Netgear router with DDNS and whatnot configured, and it's kind of a case where it's a slow link. I think it's 30 Mbps or whatever, but it's actually accessing stuff on my machine at home. And I think we have specified the compress option too, so with copy file. That's a new option which we have added, so I think it should complete like in half the time as if you would not use compression.
Thanks for listening. If you have questions about the material presented in this podcast, be sure and join our developers mailing list by sending an email to developers-subscribe@snea.org. Here you can ask questions and discuss this topic further with your peers in the storage developer community. For additional information about the Storage Developer Conference, visit www.storagedeveloper.org.